Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley. And of course, I'm joined by my lovely co-host,
Mary.
And we're also joined by our breakdown co-host,
Rebecca.
Big mistake. Both of you being here. Big mistake. Huge mistake. Oh. How does that make you feel, Mary?
I'm just in a mob boss's world and I keep messing up. So, you know, I don't know. I'm about to be jumping with the shark. What is that term? Swimming with the sharks? There we go. I don't watch mob boss movies.
Had you not been here, though, also big mistake.
True.
Rebecca, you being here, big mistake. Yeah. You not being here, big mistake. Everything's a big mistake, and they are a reason to vote you both off. Anyways, the trio, all of us are here. We have assembled the Avengers. It is the pay-per-view of WWE. This is WrestleMania, even though it's for episode 8, so not really. It's like SummerSlam, I guess, for those who actually watch that show. Yeah, we're all here. We're going to talk about episode 8, The Madness. Some people have started comparing the season to Gabon. I don't know if I'd go that far yet, but I will say this is one of the messiest episodes we've ever seen, and that doesn't just include the budget era. Mary, what do you think?
It was messy. I did love it, honestly. I was not at all sad. Well, I was slightly sad because Tevin was my number one, but like just in general watching this episode, I was very entertained.
The longer Q and Venus can stay in this game, the messier the season will be.
Yeah.
I'm afraid neither are long for this game. We'll talk about that when we rank everybody. But yeah, I'm a bit worried. We've heard Rebecca's thoughts in the breakdown. So Rebecca, I just need you to make a big mistake and tell me your thoughts anyways.
Yeah. I am a fan of chaotic episodes. I love chaotic tribals. I don't know. This episode was very entertaining for me. I was like laughing the whole time. It was very good, so I enjoyed it. Was sad to see Tevin go, but yeah, overall really enjoyed this episode.
Now, liking the episode, big mistake. Not liking the episode, huge mistake. All right, well,
should I have been neutral towards the episode, or is that allowed?
Big mistake.
Also, that's a mistake.
If you keep following this line of logic, I mean, you're just going to quit the podcast, and then Rebecca and I are going to have to continue.
Just doing anything makes you a target. Big mistake by everyone here listening to this podcast. Big mistake. All right, well, let's talk about the secret scenes that were posted this week, Mary. And I will say, since like episode 4 or 5, they've started doing 2 a week, and I'm a bit disappointed by that decision. Used to be 3 a week. I don't know what's happened. Budget? Do we think that there's been a budget cut? We can only afford 2 secret scenes now?
You know what I really think it is?
What?
It's we have hour and a half episodes and people kept saying, why is this just not in the show proper? And they're like, okay, let's put it in the show proper. I know they're already edited. It's just a joke, but.
Well, when they had 2-hour episodes at the beginning of the season, we had 3 secret scenes. Yeah, I don't understand. Though, to be fair, if either of these secret scenes are about tree mail, you can stop making
those.
No,
but the first one practically is.
Ugh. All right, tell us, Mary.
So the first one is called the Nui name, and Charlie talks about how they came up with the name of the flag. There you go. It means
that is not tree mail. That's legit.
No, it's not tree mail, and I wouldn't have mind if it was in the show proper, but like as far as having an overall effect on the game, really doesn't matter, in my opinion. Okay, so Charlie talks about they came up with the name. It's Fijian. They wanted to relate to the land. It brought them all together. It's a moment they'll remember the rest of their lives, yada, yada, yada. I do like the flag. I will say, like, I haven't really paid attention to the flag until I watched that secret scene. And it's probably one of my favorite merch flags ever. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. There you go.
Big mistake. All right, what's the next secret scene?
Secret scene was, I thought, pretty good. So Maria catches up with Ben about what happened at the split tribal thing. And Maria reaches out to him. She's like, listen, so I know you or Tim had the idol. Who's got it? Where's the idol? Yada, yada. And Ben's, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, completely is being honest with her, but she doesn't believe him. Completely brushes him off and says, I don't really trust you. Yada. I keep saying yada, yada. So Ben goes off. Poor Ben. He's like sitting alone on the beach crying. And Charlie comes up to him and just asks if he's okay. And basically Ben saying, you know, I came into this game expecting to be shunned for my personality, and surprise, at SEGA, I was loved, I was respected, I was like the life of the party and everything was great, but now we've come to the merge and everything I feared to happen is happening. Like people don't connect with me and I'm feeling on the outs. So it was really emotional for Ben and it was really telling of where he's at in the game right now. So not a great thing that it was cut from the show, although I think none of us had been maybe that high on our list at this point. I could be wrong. But yeah, basically a lot of inner thinking and thoughts of what Ben's going through right now.
I want to briefly mention that these secret scenes can be found on Survivor CBS's YouTube channel and on EW.com. Rebecca, what are your thoughts on that secret scene Ray just told us about?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Like, it's not a good indication for like Ben's edit that was cut out, especially, I don't know, especially with these longer episodes when we're doing things like playing hide and seek, you know, and then something that's like kind of important to his character arc getting cut from the show is definitely not a good sign.
I would never cut hide and seek in favor of this scene Mary's talking about. It was dramatic and sad, and I didn't even watch it. I just heard her listening to it. Like, I heard her watching it.
But I'm not saying you cut out the hide and seek, but like maybe you could shorten it a little bit so we can see a little
of this.
Yeah, I think Ben's like only content this week was him saying something about, I'm tired of gameplay. Can we just chill?
Well, like, and he won hide and seek, which is a big mistake.
True. Sorry, I forgot about that.
That's true.
Yeah. He was overshadowed by Hunter. But I mean, and also on the flip side, this was like a 4-minute secret scene. And there, quite a bit at the beginning was Maria talking about how she just, you know, she wasn't going to be trusting Ben and how she wasn't going to have the wool pulled over her eyes, you know, kind of thing, like, which could be a good thing for her because, you know, that's as far as like her edit in the show, because if she's the winner, she's going to look kind of dumb saying stuff like that when Ben is being completely honest. So maybe that's a good thing for her. But yeah, mostly it was about Ben. So
that reminds me, all those first 3 weeks, there was all those secret scenes. Remember that they were hiding Tevin's negative and the stuff that made Venus look good was being hidden as well. Well, apparently it doesn't matter for Tevin, but if Venus is in final three, those secret scenes could have been cut just because they make Venus look good. And so if she's in the final three, you don't want your loser looking that good, you know? But anyways, let's go through all these players alphabetically. What we just talked about kind of relates to our first person, which is Ben. I will let Mary take the lead, but I do want to briefly mention here on YouTube, there is a confessional counter in the top right hand of the video that shows you how many times people talk to the camera in each episode, which we will reference, I'm sure, a bunch. Okay, so Mary, what are the stats on Ben?
So Ben still has his shot in the dark. He has 2 votes against him, and he has 24 confessionals with only 1 confessional this week.
Now, Rebecca, I'll let you lead because I know I cut you off on Ben. Go ahead, lead us on Ben.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what his confessional was even about this week, because I feel like Ben and Maria, which is what I was going to say earlier, but really both of them have been kind of like, I don't know, ghosted post-merge. Like, I feel like we've gotten so little Ben content, which, yeah, I mean, granted, like, there's a lot going on. Like, Q's running around creating a lot of chaos, and, like, there's just a lot going on. So I guess the quieter characters aren't going to get as much focus. But, yeah, I feel like Ben, again, I think he's super likable. I think he has made some friends in the game, but I don't see him going super far at this point just because, yeah, I don't know. We just have not gotten much from him. And even pre-merge, it wasn't very like personal content or anything. It was just kind of like more about his personality and all that. So, I don't know. I like Ben, but I don't know. We just have not gotten much from him, especially, post-merge.
What do you think, Mary?
I think if I remember correctly, Ben's one confessional was talking about how he was just kind of lost now that Tim was gone. You kind of feel that in the game. Like, he's just like you're saying, everyone likes him, but he hasn't made any strategy moves and is kind of telling at this point. And in the secret scene, Maria is like, why are you all of a sudden now just talking to me and Charlie? Like, you've had all game to come talk to us about strategy or whatever. And she's like, it feels like we're your last choice, and so that doesn't make me want to work with you. And Ben's just like, I'm sorry, I didn't know I needed to play earlier. And, you know, like, he's just such a genuine person. I think people like him, but since he isn't connecting with anyone, you can make the argument that he's like the Lone Ranger and he might slip through for a while, like maybe Jake from last season, but he's probably not going to win at the end. And if he does get connected to anyone and people want to like cut off that extra vote for another alliance or whatever, like, I could see him going home soon, especially because of the lack of personal content, which is unfortunate because I do like
he has
Ben.
An emotional backstory, though, so he has what maybe, I don't know, that we haven't done one so long, maybe an important thing to have to win. It was for 41 through 45. Did they all of a sudden stop it for 46 because they're trying to throw out red herrings and screw with us? maybe there's been a lot of signs this season that I'm trying to screw with us, which I appreciate. But Ben, I feel like even if they were screwing with us, I feel like Ben is not getting the content needed to win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, them cutting that secret scene that you talked about, Mary, they should have at least included some shorthand version of it. Though then again, as I talked about with Rebecca last night, Rebecca can attest to this, I said that that opening scene where we're talking about how important Tim was to him, cool, but at the same time, like, we never really saw that relationship on any sort of level where mm-hmm. I should actually care about him missing Tim. Great, you missed him, but like, I don't feel that emotionally connected to your relationship with Tim, you know, because it wasn't really fleshed out.
Right.
Yeah. Ben, I think he rocks, but his ranking and his ranking has moved up, but it's almost because there's so many goats mm-hmm. in this cast mm-hmm. of nine, in this final nine, which we are going to rank them all. Text ranking in the description. I have Ben ranked 4. Because cannot fathom how the people below him are going to win at the moment. There's 3 goats, in my opinion, and 2 people who I feel like are in a rough position edit-wise or just in a rough position in general. So Ben's almost at 4 by default, weirdly enough. I feel like he's solid, and I feel like he's not going to be targeted. And he could win if he sits next to the right people, let's say like a Q, Liz, or Venus kind of situation. I think Ben could beat them. But I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah, he hasn't been shown to like make any moves. I mean, this week he said, yeah, Tevin needs to go, and Tevin win. But that wasn't because of any driving force of Ben or, you know, like, I think that he's definitely not in any sort of power position here. And yeah, I have him at 5th. So I agree with you. There are a couple people he could beat strictly based on his personality. But, you know, his path to the end is probably not going to be very easy.
I think, Mary, you have him above everyone. I have him above except for one person. There's one person that people may disagree with me on, but we'll talk about that when we get to that person. Rebecca, where do you have Ben ranked and why? Big mistake.
So, yes. Okay. Before I even say it. Yeah. So I have
ranking us.
I have Ben ranked at number 7, which is because, yeah. So like, I agree with you that I think that there are some people who are goats, but because those people have been getting more content than Ben has, I see them as being more likely to get to the end, or at least to go further in the game. Like Ben, I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, we don't really know. Like we just haven't seen him even try to like play the game really, which, you know, again, maybe he admitted in the secret scene, like, you know, maybe he just hasn't been playing, you know, too much yet, but so maybe there just like hasn't been content for them to put in. But yeah, I just feel like for someone to win, like we have to, I don't know, we have to have something to like see, like, okay, they're playing the game, they're trying to win, you know, all this stuff. And I don't know whether he has been playing that way or not, we just haven't seen it. So I don't see it being very likely that he gets to the end at this point, so that's why I've got him so low. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Ranking Ben at several, that does not rock, Rebecca. Does not rock. So Ben,
and again, personal.
Yeah,
I think he's a great guy.
I agree. The edit isn't setting off to a winner, but this edit this season has been weird in a lot of ways, and maybe it's mm-hmm. because the cast is so, what's the word? Not kumbaya. The opposite of kumbaya, which I appreciate.
Vibing. They're just vibing.
Yeah.
Chill.
When we got to 45, we had 4 seasons of evidence of what Kumbaya Survivor looks like. A budget era Survivor. We're 46 and still the budget era, but this cast is actually delivering here in the post-merge. Whereas 45 is really good, by the way. It was really good. And we'll see how the season ends. But a couple episodes of 46 has been like, whoa, this is wild. But then again, 43 had a couple episodes too where I was like, whoa, this is wild. It's just, it's going to take a little time separated from the season to really, truly evaluate correctly. We're coming off the high of hide and seek, big mistake, Q trying to quit. Q, you know, Q stands for quit, I guess. And by the way, if I recall, didn't Jelinski say in episode 1 that Q wanted to quit the challenge they were doing, but they never showed Q saying that? So we just assume Jelinski was lying. Mm-hmm. Maybe he did. I mean, we now have evidence of 3 different times Q's wanted to quit. So,
I mean,
anyways, we're
even
talking
if
about
he
Ben.
Did, Jelinski's the one who smashed the challenge, but
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Jelinski had, well, and he was going out that episode, so they had to really paint Jelinski. All right. So yeah. Ben for me is 4. For Mary, it's 5. For Rebecca, it's several. All right. Who's our next player, Mary?
Next, we have Charlie. He has his shot in the dark and no votes against him. He had 9 confessionals this week with a total of 42, which is one of the higher ones, obviously.
Okay. So Charlie, I think he has moved up probably in all of our rankings. At least for me, because Charlie has, I don't know, he's just become like a main character. Maybe he's been a main character all the time, but the post-merge, he's definitely been a main character. And a lot of that has to do with he's not being targeted weirdly enough, but also they seem to really want to give us Charlie's opinion all the time. And it's hard to ignore that. Does he have a sad backstory, Mary, an emotional backstory?
He does not. No. So far, Maria, Hunter, Venus, and Ben are the only ones still in the game with an emotional backstory.
All right. Rebecca, what do you think about Charlie?
Yeah, I like Charlie a lot. I think, like you said, Wesley, it seems like he's one of the 2 people or maybe 3 people that the show just wants to constantly be cutting to him. And we're constantly hearing from him in confessionals. He really does feel like kind of a main character, like you said. There's been so many times where he's been kind of on the peripheral of something that's going on. And then we're cutting to Charlie. We're hearing his opinion. As soon as he found out about the 6 Alliance, which we've known about for forever, but now that Charlie knows about it, we need to cut to him and hear his opinion about it. And,
and
these things, even though
we are thinking it's a bunch of garbage. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And he's, we're hearing him already say oh, this 6 is going to turn on each other. Maybe I should be the first one to turn on everyone else. And he literally just got into this alliance, quote unquote alliance. So yeah, I like Charlie a lot. I think he's impossible to ignore at this point. And yeah, I could definitely see him winning. So yeah,
I'm conflicted because I don't know if Charlie can win come the end, but there's evidence for it. I just feel like there's stronger contenders than him. He is in my top 3. I actually have him at number 3. He replaced Tevin in my top 3. He's in a great spot. It's just that I don't know. I just can't. Is Sega really gonna go to the end? It felt like Sega was everyone's goat, or everyone's let's get out Sega. Now the tribal lines have magically disappeared in 2 days, that now Sega's okay. I don't know, they were just they've been targeted for 2 episodes. I thought Sega was done for. I thought it was gonna be Nami also is done for, I guess. And then you got Kyuan Yanu being a big mess, so I guess there's really I guess no tribe is truly safe in the post-merge.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's 3 Sega, 3 Yanu, and 4 Nami at this point, and we already know Nami's a mess.
It's not 4 Nami. Heaven just won. It's 3 Nami.
Sorry. 3 Nami.
3 of each tribe.
Yeah, so it's 3 on each tribe. And it does seem like, we were talking last night after the episode, it really didn't feel like a tribal vote at all last night. This was strictly an alliance vote or personal vote, or however you want to say it. Sorry.
We shouldn't ignore the Charlie Maria being connected to Malcolm and Denise thing from early on in the season too. Mm-hmm. That didn't do it for anyone else this season. But then again, it could be a red herring. They're just copying something from last season when they did Dee and Austin being connected to Rob and Amber. And just like Rob and Amber, Dee and Austin are married today with 3 kids or 4 kids. So and a lot of that connection worked out perfectly.
did they not show a flashback to Rob when, or maybe Q is just comparing himself to Rob?
If they did not show a flashback to Rob and Philip.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't think they wanted to traumatize people all over again. Yeah. As today, before we got on this podcast, was working on Rob's Redemption Island video. I was being traumatized. Oh, so it's funny to work on Rob's video. You better believe, this is a heads up for everyone, that they better believe there will be a couple of big mistake moments in Rob's video. Because it's I'm working on Rob's video while we're watching Q think he's Boston Rob. And it's some of it's going to bleed into Rob's video, but you'll only know if you watch 46. It's not going to spoil anything for people who are trying to watch stuff in order. So anyways, definitely a couple big mistake. But people did something Survivor, wrong to Rob. Big mistake.
Survivor Inception.
Big mistake. Well, in Heroes versus Villains, when I covered Rob's when I did 45 and I talked about Dean Austin, I referenced Boston Rob saying how, because in Heroes versus Villains, Rob says that if coach is to quit, he's like, what kind of coach is that? You're not much of a coach. You quit the game. And I said, kind of like a school principal or a therapist. And then when I did Dee's video, I mentioned how Boss Rob would say. So yes, it does. It connects. But it's kind of like, if you don't know the reference, it doesn't mean anything until you know it. Layers. I try to add layers to these story videos. Sometimes people catch them. Sometimes people don't. I like putting it in the podcast here because then people are like, they have like a heads up on something, you know, now like when it happens, it's an Easter egg. Yeah, exactly. But I like giving away the secrets of the Easter eggs here in the podcast. So who has not really talked about Charlie? Mary. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I have had Charlie at number three for several weeks now, I think.
Wow.
And he's still there. He almost moved up this week, but I kept him where he's at. I think, again, like you're saying, you can't ignore Charlie. He's an important character. I think he is undervalued. Like we heard Q this week say, you know, we should watch Charlie because we don't want him to turn on our group of six. But I don't know if he really has the smarts to do it, you know, which, again, that's coming from Q. So take that as you will. But I do think people think, oh, Charlie, he's just that the sweet little guy we can bring along and he's going to go with us and he's going to follow us because he's young and innocent and naive.
And he likes Taylor Swift, which helps right. his young look. Yes.
So his persona might come off as that. But again, you see Charlie like approaching people like Ben on the beach and asking people how they're doing and being, you know, like emotional with people and connecting with people, which is super important. And you also hear from Charlie saying how, like, for this week specifically, he wanted to vote off Tevin because that's the better strategic move because Tevin is a great player. But, you know, emotionally, he wants to vote off Tiffany because she started targeting Maria. In the long run, you know, he makes this strategic move over the emotional move. And so I just think that Charlie is such a smart player and he's being kind of ignored for all of the bigger, crazier threats that are out there right now. So I definitely think that he can get pretty far, but that, you know, he might be perceived as a threat at Final Four or something, taken out in fire. That's kind of why I still have him down a little bit, because he's just like, when he gets to the end, how could you not like vote for sweet little Charlie? It's kind of my opinion. So I think his threat level is going to come up soon. Just right now, he's definitely under the radar. But I think
when you talk about Taylor Swift, it shaves 10 years off of you. So you look 10 years younger. As Rebecca nears 50, as everyone can tell from the picture we put at the beginning, she sounds like she's 40, 41 talking about Taylor Swift. So
wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
Huge mistake. Now the Swifties are going to come after you.
Big mistake. Oh, I made a big mistake last week. I joked about Taylor Swift and her boyfriends, Rebecca. And I definitely got some angry comments about that one. So, All right. Rebecca, where do you have Charlie ranked?
I have him ranked at number two. And I think, to quickly piggyback off of what Mary was saying. Yeah, I think it is important to note that like not really anyone is targeting him. Mm-hmm. Yet, except for Venus. We've seen Venus talk about how much of a threat Charlie is, but like no one listens to Venus. Like, no one cares about her opinion right now. So yeah, I agree with Mary. I could definitely see him getting, I don't know, fourth or third, or like I could see him going, you know, soon, like maybe fourth or fifth. But I think if he gets to the final three, I think he has a lot of votes. I don't think he has a lot of enemies. I think he's connected with a lot of people on kind of a deeper level than just the game. So I think a lot of people would vote for him if he can get to the final three. So that's why I have him at number two.
All right. Who's next, Mary?
Next, we have Hunter. He still has his shot in the dark and a hidden immunity idol that I'm pretty sure no one knows about. He has two votes against him and his confessional count is he only had two this week with a total of 28, which is on a little bit of the lower end, but there are still several people below him. So
I'm conflicted about Hunter. On one hand, he just lost his number one ally. On the other hand, I feel like he is kind of a low key person in a general sense that he could probably slide into any alliance and people will be okay with that because he's not going to try to take over like a Q. But Hunter also has that big target on his back because, I mean, sure, he won immunity. Somebody had to win it, but flipping upside down, like, people already had in mind that you're a big threat and then you do stuff like that. And it's like showing off, sure. But if you're trying to win the game, you don't show off on challenges. In fact, if anything, you look like you struggled really hard. You barely pulled it out. Not that you did it easily. And then he has the idol, which is a positive. But I feel like Hunter's in a position right now where he either needs to get an alliance that doesn't really care about his threat level physically, or he needs to win out. And I'm afraid he's on the winning out side of things at the moment. He was left out of that Tevin vote hard. So Hunter, believe it or not, despite how much I like Hunter, I have him below Ben. He's at five.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I said Ben was above one person and people might disagree with it. It's Hunter. I could see people disagreeing with me, but Hunter's trajectory at the moment is down. It's downwards. And he needs to win out at the moment. in my opinion. So, Rebecca, what do you think about Hunter?
Yeah, I agree. I think that his main path to the end right now is just winning a bunch of challenges, which is not impossible. Like, I could see him doing that for sure. But yeah, I think to your point about, you know, he needs to join an alliance that doesn't care about his threat level. I think, unfortunately, his main option for that right now is the Six Alliance with Q. And with Q being such a hot mess, like, I don't know that that's really going to work out super well in the long run for him. So yeah, I think, I don't know, I like Hunter. You know, he's fun, like, to see him hiding in a tree for hide and seek. You know, all that is, like, fun. But I do think in order to get to the end, it's going to be, I don't know, a difficult road for him. So I also have him at number five, just because, yeah, I could see him winning his way to the end, but it's going to take a lot of work. So
that's the thing. I think if Hunter had not dominated the pre-merge with this challenge prowess, that he wouldn't be in the position he is right now. I think he'd be just fine. Like, even if he had won this immunity challenge, it's been one win, you know, been nothing. But he dominated the pre-merge. People saw him finishing all those challenges for Nami and getting them the win, saving their hide a lot of times. So, Mary, what do you think about Hunter?
I am still slightly higher on Hunter than you two. He's number four for me. But so here's my thing with Hunter. I agree with you, like, his path to the end probably is an immunity run. And I think that is something that he could do easily. Like, there's not that many people I'm just confident could go on immunity run, because it's not just about the physical prowess. It's definitely the mental and understanding, like, the kind of challenges Survivor is going to throw at you. And I think Hunter does. I've been a little bit worried about him because he doesn't seem to have any strategy that's shown at all. It's just been, he's Tevin's number one and right-hand man, and he does whatever Tevin says. So I was a little bit encouraged this week that we actually got to see some strategy from him, in that he tried to convince the Six to vote for Maria over Tevin, and he had good reasoning for it. You know, he wasn't just like, Tevin's my number one, I don't really feel comfortable. He was like, Tevin hasn't attacked the Six. Tiffany's attacked the Six. If we're going to stay strong, let's get out the person who's attacking us. So, you know, he was trying to be logical about it, and I was glad that he actually put some effort into it. Now, it didn't work, but it shows that he's ready to play the game to some extent. Because, like I said, so far, it's just been, oh, Hunter's annoyed at Venus. Oh, Hunter found an idol. Oh, Tevin's just number one right-hand
guy. Hunter has an emotional backstory.
He does have an emotional backstory. He does have his name in the middle of the screen. Can't ignore those, so that's why he's still number four for me.
The middle of the screen, though, is not...
I know. I'm just saying, these are the hints.
Slow-mo shots, I mean, Tevin's gone. Slow-mo shots, middle screen, it's all just to mess with us. The emotional backstory is the only thing that we can solidly hang our hat on, because there's five seasons of evidence about it.
Sure.
And the fact that nobody's got one in so long, I'm like a little bit concerned that our options are... Who are our options between? If it's just people with emotional backstories, who is it?
Maria, Venus, Ben, Hunter. Just those four right now.
And like one of those people at the moment feels like they have it. Like, get to the final three, they win. And it's like Maria's been skunked. Not skunked. Maria's been ignored, purpled in a sense. Venus, come on.
Maria been skunked, technically.
Well,
she's had a zero vote episode.
She's like the lowest number of confessionals, if not it's Liz. Mm-hmm. She's like second lowest. And then who you said? Venus. Hunter's in a rough spot. Venus, I mean, who's going to respect Venus come a final three? And Ben, we keep talking about how they keep cutting stuff from Ben, and doesn't feel like Ben's really a strategic. So maybe part of the saltiness of this cast is that somebody like Ben wins or Venus wins. I don't know, but that's their choice, by the way.
Right. Yeah. The jury picks. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I don't know that I have a whole lot more to add other than just, I think that Hunter's got to win his way to the end at this point. So
Rebecca and I have Hunter at five. Mary has her Hunter at four. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Who's next?
Next. I'm sorry. That's me. Next, we have Kinsey. She still has her shot in the dark. No other advantages or idols or anything like that. She had two confessionals this week, which was the lowest for her so far. Was still with 44 total, because Yanu.
If I could, I would insert the royal song for the queen, God Save the Queen, because Kenzie is clearly the queen, yes. And I think she's on track to win. The Mermaid Dragon. Maybe a more appropriate song would not be God Save the Queen. It would be something related. Maybe a Whole New World's Aladdin. Give me a little Mermaid, Mary. What's
Under
the best song?
Under the Sea?
That's not really. That's not Ariel's song.
Oh, Part of Your World.
Part of Your World. There we go. Gosh, we're talking about the crab song. All right.
That Under is the best sea. Song, but...
Well, yeah. But it's not Ariel's song.
Yes.
Part of Your World. There we go. That's the song we should insert here for Kenzie, because the Mermaid Dragon at the moment, I feel like, has to be everyone's number one. And I'd be surprised if anyone said anything different. Are we all number one in Kenzie?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So, Kenzie, I mean, what is there negative to say about Kenzie at the moment? Bonnie and Jess want to vote her off. Good luck. They're out of the game. I was expecting more of a reaction. Okay. Well, they're out of the game. So, Kenzie, I feel like the only thing she's missing at the moment is an emotional backstory. And if she's on track to win, they got like 3 episodes, 4 episodes to give it to us. They could wait till the finale. It doesn't really matter when it happens. It's not important of when, as long as that happens. So Kenzie is in a great position. People aren't really thinking about her. She won an immunity last week. She is not part of the messiness. If anything, she was shielded from the messiness. I don't think was she one of the people Q said big mistake? If he did, he said about everybody, though. I don't know.
I'd have to go back. I did take detailed notes during that time.
Did
but
you?
I'd have to search. Yeah. I don't know.
Having tattoos and being caught because of them, big mistake. Tiffany wearing her red buff and getting caught, big mistake.
That was Venus.
I don't care. Everything gets bled into Q at that point. Being found first, big mistake. Finding Q, big mistake. Being number one on all of our rankings, big mistake. All right, Rebecca, why is Kenzie number one for you?
Yeah, I think Kenzie, like you said, she's impossible to ignore. You know, for a while, like pre-merge, obviously with all the Yanu mess, it was like, okay, you know, she was definitely like getting a lot of attention, but that was just because Yanu was getting a lot of attention. But I think even post-merge, like even in this episode when, like you said, you know, she wasn't really part of like the whole six messiness, like I think she was kind of even in the dark to some extent about the whole vote, because like, you know, not finding out until tribal that like Q was telling people about Tiffany's idol and like that people were voting for Tiffany and all that. So yeah, she was kind of left out of all of that. But at the same time, like she wasn't completely ghosted in the episode. Like we were still hearing from her. We're still hearing, you know, her strategy and her opinion on things. So I think that's really important. Her tie with Tiffany is also going to be really good. I think obviously like Tiffany's in kind of an interesting spot. We'll talk about her more in a little bit. But yeah, I think just being that tight with someone and then yeah, just out of the Yanu people, like Q is taking a lot of the attention off of her, because at some point, yeah, everyone's going to be like, hey, the Yanu three are still here. We should do something about that. But with Q being such a hot mess, like he's taking all that heat off of Kenzie and Tiffany. So, yeah, I think Kenzie's in a really good spot. The only negative things besides not having the emotional backstory is we did have that one edit. I forget which episode it was, but when Tiffany was talking, like she was kind of dunking on Kenzie back on Yanu, and we had like a montage.
Ugh, I keep forgetting.
And again, that could be a red herring because, like you said, the show's doing a lot of things to like mess with us this season, but that was just kind of like, yeah, why are you dunking on someone if they are going to be the winner? But that's like literally it. Like besides trying to team up with Banu and Jess at one point, but I think that was just her trying to play the game. So
they also had two hours to fill.
Exactly.
That was back when they had two hours to fill. They had a lot of time.
Yeah. So those things, I don't see them. I don't know. Like, I guess they're worth noting, but I don't see them as being super detrimental to her game at this point. So yeah, I like Kenzie a lot.
Mary, does Kenzie have the most confessionals?
Let me check. No, she does not have the most confessionals.
Who has the most?
Q, because he had 15 this week. But if you take off like just this week, yeah, she's basically first or if not tied for first.
What's Kenzie's final number at the moment again? What's she
44.
At?
44.
What does Q have?
53.
Holy cow. All right, Mary, what do you think about Kenzie?
I have nothing really else to add. I think one of Kenzie's strongest points is just her connection with people and her lack of threat. So right now she's lying low. She's letting everyone else do the dirty work. She's on the right side of the votes, though. She's in a jury alliance. She is a big jury threat. Yes. I mean, just like we constantly see her just being sweet. Like, I think the first thing in this episode is Kenzie asking Ben if he's okay after the vote. You know, like that's the very first thing you hear. And so it's just like yeah, we hear from Kinsey, even if it's just two confessionals, there's still content from Kinsey, and her confessionals are poignant to the overall story of what we're going through. So yeah, I think I agree with everything you just said. She's in a great spot.
There's also that scene a week or two ago where, I think it was last week, where Ben had the panic attack and it was all about Kinsey.
Yeah.
Ben's the one over here suffering. Maybe he needs a medical check on him. What does Kinsey think about this? You know, what's Kinsey up to? So, yeah, there's just a lot of signs for Kinsey. It's really the montage that makes you go, oof. But was the montage really that, was it really that bad? You know, in retrospect, it's like, is this really all we have to hang our hat on negative about Kinsey? Because if it is, it ain't much.
Yeah.
If you're comparing her edit to like everyone else, like if that's the only thing that's bad, I feel like everyone else has like more bad things in their edit. So like, yeah, I don't think it's enough to like cancel her, you know, being looked at as like the number one contender at this point, but it's worth noting.
It's like when people look at a draft class for like the NBA or the NFL, and they're like, oh, this might be a weaker year for a number one overall. And that's kind of maybe that's what we're in. Like, there's no perfect number one overall, but there's one with the least amount of flaws, and that's Kinsey at the moment. Though Tiffany is a close second in my mind. We'll talk about her later. Mary, what do you think?
Oh, I was just going to say that, and the one other negative quote unquote that we had was her snapping at Bonu, which then she immediately goes and apologizes for it. And like,
to be fair,
Bonu,
who didn't want to snap at Bonu?
Right. I think what I think as far as like I do like about the editing of this season is how we're seeing maybe more of an overall picture of the contestants. They're not just, oh, Hunter's the challenge. Well, I mean, that's not fair. Actually, that's pretty much all we're seeing of Hunter. Or, but you know, Venus is the villain.
Less
whatever.
One-dimensional.
They're a little bit less one-dimensional. And a little bit more, you have like the good and the bad, minus maybe Tevin had a lot of his bad cut. But still, we still had some villainous moments from him. So I like that. I think, it, like you said, it makes it harder to determine who the winner might be. But also, it just makes people more real.
Survivor 50 should be heroes versus villains, too. I think they could figure out 10 villains. I think we got it. You know, Q and Venus are two villains. You know, look at the other five seasons. We're sure we can drag eight more out of there. Shan has to be one. That's three.
Ricard.
Who are seven more? Ricard. Yeah, definitely. I feel like they're going to want to shy away from 41 as much as possible. 41 is probably the least well-received season out of all these new era ones. But I feel like we could figure out 10 villains. And by the time we get to 50, we have 8-9 seasons to pull from. You know, Q and Venus, I feel like, got to be locks, you know. I say Shan. I feel like Shan's a lock, but does Shan want to come back? I don't know. We'll see. My point being is that I think Heroes vs. Villains 2 would excite us the most, especially if people embrace the roles they are cast into. If they're like, I'm not really a villain, or if I'm not really a hero.
Yeah, you know Q isn't going to say he's a villain. You know he will not.
Oh, no. Q can be like, people think I'm a villain. Big mistake. I'm just saying, I think we could pull out 10 heroes, 10 villains over the course of 9 of these budget era seasons by the time we reach 50. And I think it'd be fun. I think it's a theme people want. Why not do it? Well, I don't know what they actually have in store. Maybe they don't even know themselves yet. Heck, they got another year to think about it. But yeah, I hope it's heroes versus villains too. Or another phrase, you know, I don't know. Australian Survivors did like Rebels versus Titans. I don't know exactly what that means, but you know, you get the idea. Just name it something different. It doesn't have to be heroes versus villains, but maybe something like that. Anyways, so Kinsey is the number one for all of us. Who's next?
Next we have Liz. Liz still has her shot in the dark. No other advantages or idols. She had 3 confessionals this week. She was a powerhouse this week, guys. I do actually have positive things to say about her. Sorry. And she has 14 total confessionals. Yes, that is the lowest out of everyone.
My Marie. All right. No, well, and Maria has an emotional backstory.
Liz. We are on
Liz. Oh, my
Liz.
Gosh. I'm sorry. I just phased out for a sec. Liz?
Yes.
Liz? Somebody posted to me on Twitter, messaged me on Twitter, a screenshot of them talking to Liz and telling her that she needs to sponsor this podcast for $1. And she said, LOLY. Oh. So Liz doesn't even know how much we love Liz. That's the thing. She doesn't even know this podcast is rich for her. It is rich for Liz love. Liz last night said, I have an ego and I know it. Tevin and Venus both need to shut up And like, this is a great villain behavior. I don't think she would come back for Heroes vs. Villains 2. Can we really have three people from the season? I don't know. But what I am saying is that there are enough villains that we got it. By the time we get to 49, I'd be surprised if we don't. We're moving away from Kumbaya, feels like, finally. Last season, a little bit less Kumbaya. This season, a lot less Kumbaya. Liz is not winning. She is a goat. She's right there with Venus and Q. And I said last night, and I'll say it again today, that the only way one of those three win, I think, is if they sit next to those. That's the combination of the three at the end. Liz's best shot is against Q and Venus. And is that going to happen? Big mistake. I don't know. I think Liz is hilarious. I like how she is possibly the biggest villain out there. They've just been hiding her. And the fact that the only person who acknowledged that she's super rich and that's a threat is Tevin. Maybe that comes up in Final Tribal. I don't know. What do you think, Mary?
I was actually really, I can't say proud of Liz this episode, but I really felt like she did step it up, or we saw her gameplay this episode. So first of all, she said, I have been trying to get Soda out since the beginning. I don't remember. Maybe she was. Maybe we just weren't shown it. Whatever. It's neither here nor there. We all know that Tevin still came, approached her and said, hey, let's get out Soda. Whatever. We know Tevin made the move. But she, like, I like that she's humble about it and saying, you know, I have an ego and it's getting hurt here. And
that's not humble.
No, I mean, sorry, honest, I guess. Honest about it. Self-aware. Wrong choice of words. Self-aware. That's what I'm trying to say. So she, like, knows her problems. But I think the biggest thing for her this week, she was convinced Tevin needed to go. And she said every time it came up, oh, should we switch to this person or this person, whatever. She was not flexible and said, no, Tevin needs to go. Which generally, I agree, is not like the best approach. But in this case, when no one is committing, especially at the live tribal, and everyone's like, well, what do you want to do? 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 I don't know. I don't know. Liz saying, I don't care who you're voting for. I am voting Tevin no matter what. Like, I honestly feel like that was kind of a rallying point for everyone. And that's why Tevin eventually went home. This was not Venus getting Tevin out. This was Liz getting Tevin out. Because, like, with Q, like Q's whole speech, with Tiffany targeting Maria, with Tevin just being the threat that he is, like, there was so much going on and there were so many people feeling overwhelmed in that moment. Like, even when people were walking up to the confessional booth, it's like they still didn't know what to do, what was going on. Like, in general, you can have the sense that the person usually knows what they're doing. Like, they walk up there, they're confident, they've got a smile, whatever. They're sad, they whatever. Like, but almost every single person that they showed, it was like shrugging the shoulders or I don't know or whatever at the booth, which I think is kind of unusual. So, like, in that moment when you're thinking, who in the world am I going to go for? And the only thing that you have sticking in your mind, besides Q saying he wants to quit, is Liz saying, I'm riding Tevin no matter what. Like, I feel like that was what tipped it over the edge and caused Tevin to go home. So good on Liz for sticking with her guns and making it slightly a less messy vote, and getting a big threat out. That was my opinion. She's still number eight for me. I agree. Like, I don't think she's going to win, but this was actually a Liz move that she could take credit for maybe later a little bit.
Had Liz refused to play in hide and seek, would that have been a big mistake? Would Q have said that's a big mistake? She doesn't even want to play. That's a big mistake.
Yeah, of course.
Finding him was a big mistake. All I'm saying is she's on Q's radar. Who isn't? I don't know. But Q, but Liz definitely is.
Even Q is on his own radar. So
Q tried to vote himself off because he made a big mistake with Hunter. He said it. Big mistake. Huge mistake. Cancel Christmas. All right, Rebecca, what do you think about Liz and her fat sacks of cash?
Yes. Yeah.
No man can handle her.
Yeah. No, that's correct. Yeah. I agree with, I think everything Mary said. Just, you know, I like Liz a lot. I really enjoyed watching her make a move. And yeah, I think you're totally right. Like, I think the big thing with the way that she went about sticking to her guns is like, okay, so there's a difference between like Q saying, I'm voting this way, everyone needs to vote this way, get on board, or like, you're my enemy now. Like, that's like kind of his like mob boss way of, you know, going about things. Whereas Liz was more like, listen, y'all can do whatever you want. I'm voting for Tevin because this is what I think is right. And I think that going about it in that way is just, I don't know, it's just a better way to go about it. It's just a less controlling way to do things. So, yeah, I liked the move. I liked the way that she went about it. I do like that she's self-aware about her ego and all of that. I don't know. I think it's like kind of funny to hear someone say like, yeah, I've got a big ego, but it's also like good for her for being self-aware, you know? So I like Liz a lot. That being said, she is ranked at number 9. I don't see any way that she's like winning at this point.
What?
Yeah. So, and you yes, I know maybe Venus controversial.
The final 3? You think Venus and Q beat her?
Yes.
I don't Venus. See any way that I think Venus could beat her. I also just don't see any way that she makes it to the final 3 at this point, like, cuz she, I don't know. I just don't know what alliance she has that would get her to the end. Just based on what we've seen, of course, like she may be out here making moves, but you know, just from what we've seen. So I don't think she makes it to the end, but I do really like her. And yeah, it would be fun to see her come back. I'm sure she could, buy her way onto a future season.
Dare you rank her at 9. Big mistake. I have her at several.
Huge mistake.
Big. Huge mistake. I have her at several. Mary has her at 8. And you have her at 9. 7, okay. 8, 9. Ha, yep. Ha, ha.
Yep.
All right. Who's next, Mary?
Okay. So next we have Maria.
My Marie.
She styles her shot in the dark. No votes against her. No idols or advantages. She only has 17 confessionals with 1 this week.
Yeah. Who's Maria? I feel like I know more about Liz than I know about Maria. I feel like Maria was front loaded with stuff. And who's been Maria for the past like 4 or 5 episodes? I have no idea. She's there. Mm-hmm. How is she getting purpled in on a season with now 9 people and the most amount of screen time any season's ever had through this number of episodes? I don't get it. Who is Maria? Anyways, all that being said, I have Maria ranked at 6 because I feel like she's not a complete goat like Liz, Q, and Venus at the moment. What do you think, Rebecca?
Yeah, so I have her ranked actually kind of high, which might be kind of controversial. So she is at number 4 for me. And I think the reason for that is because, yeah, it's definitely not great that she's getting kind of ghosted post-merge. But I do think that there are, yeah, like there's just other people, honestly, who I think are more goats or less likely to make it to the end. So it's just kind of like pushing her higher, to be honest. I do like that she's so close with Charlie. I think that's a good thing that could potentially get her later in the game. Although if there does come a point where everyone's like, hey, these two are super close and we need to vote one of them off, like I could see it being her. So I don't feel great about her to win necessarily, but she is at number 4. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, I agree with you, Rebecca. I think that, like, you could say we don't know who Maria is, Wesley, and sure, I guess you have a point.
I've watched the Brooks and Dunn music video many times. I still don't know.
But at the same time, I feel like she is constantly, like, maybe she's Charlie's sidekick. So, therefore, Charlie's important. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, she is also important to the story. So, we do hear from her. I mean, even if it's...
She's part of the 6.
She's part of the 6.
Which is a 4.
She gets her confessional, at least, usually. She was skunked once. And we hear what she has to say. Like, we hear conversations between her and people. Like, she's usually always talking to people. She's talking to the 6. She's talking to Charlie. She's talking to Ben. Whatever it is, like, she's communicating. She's playing the game. Sure, we haven't seen a lot of personal content from her in a while. We haven't heard from her much. That's
why
she has
an emotional backstory.
She does have an emotional backstory. And she, I don't think she's anyone's target right now. You know, like no one's targeting her. So in that respect, I think she's in a good spot. I think her negatives are that maybe, obviously, lack of personal content and that she doesn't seem to be driving anything so far. I mean, like we talked about that one time where she had immunity. And generally, when you have an immunity in a small tribe, you get approached of, well, who do you want out because you're unavailable? She wasn't really being approached, which can be a good thing. Like, nobody really thinks she's a threat or a power player or anything like that. But also, you want people to respect you and your game. So that's why she's 6 for me, a little bit lower than, you know, the top half. But if she gets to the end, you know, could she convince the jury? Sure, it's a possibility. There's people she could beat. That's my feeling about her.
When is Liz's emotional backstory going to happen? When are we going to find out where the source of her income is? Does Liz even have active income, or is it all passive because she's so rich she doesn't even have to work? We know that's not true because she has a website with a business that I still don't understand. But as soon as I'm paid $1 to sponsor her, I'll do deep research and figure it out. Or maybe she could just tell me. That would be best. Because maybe my brain's too small to understand. That's why no man can handle her. Too small to understand Liz's business. So anyways, speaking about Maria, yeah, it does feel like she's Charlie's sidekick. You guys have made good points. It feels like in the beginning, they set her up to be a strong player, a very smart player. But she, 14 confessionals over 8 episodes on this season is almost like getting 2 in a 60-minute episode season. This woman's getting ignored, and I it's probably she's not causing any drama. Good for her. But at the same time, you think they would want your winner to be known somewhat. Feels like I don't really know Maria.
Yeah.
Who is Maria? I haven't really heard from her in a while. Even Ben somehow has more content than Maria. And we talked about Ben basically just getting content where he's vibing, saying things don't rock or things do rock, you know, or mentioning 90s bands. I don't know. So anyways, Maria for me is 6. Where is she for you, Mary?
6.
And Rebecca, you ever ranked what? 4 again, you said?
Number 4. Yep.
Wow. All right. Who's next?
Next, we have Q. So Q still has his shot in the dark.
No advantages. Talking about Q is a big mistake.
Or idols. He had 15 confessionals this week, most of them about hide and seek, and 53 total, which is the most overall.
I mentioned earlier that while working on Boston Rob's Redemption Island video, I am throwing some Q jokes, so only if you're aware of Q. So I will mention now that Patreon is free to sign up for, link in the description. These podcasts are early and ad-free on there. And we don't have any sponsors unless Liz sponsors us, because I say no to sponsors. And as Q would say, big mistake. Either way, it's a big mistake. But I'm trusting you all to make it not a big mistake by financially supporting us, so we don't have to accept sponsors from people. You listen to On Fire podcast, by the way. It's a 30-minute podcast, but there's like 6 minutes of ad reads. And I'm like, can we not? It's too much. So anyways, big mistake. Q, if we don't rank him at 1, it's a big mistake. But if we don't rank him at 9th, it's a big mistake. You know, either way, we've screwed up. So we'll try to do our best to make the least amount of screw-ups as possible. Rebecca, actually Mary, actually me. Everyone, big mistake. I'll start. Q, I think he was doing okay before this episode. But how one could tank their game so fast at 1 tribal is beyond me. And this isn't even like a screw up, like Varner and Game Changers outing Zeke. You know, like that was a misread among all the misreads. Is Q playing 4D chess here? You know, is this actually an intentional strategy? Because I love it, but I don't know what to make of it. I can't tell if he actually wanted to quit. Was it a manufactured quit that failed? Have we even seen one of those before where it's like, please vote me off, please? And then the person doesn't get voted off, and then we're like, that the whole time that was my strategy. I don't know. I really don't know. This is not, I'm not, I really don't. Mary, what do you think?
Oh boy. No. Okay. So Q, I feel like, is a bit of a conflicted player. He is super confident in what he's doing at the time, but when his plan gets messed up, he gets devastated. So it's like he puts too much stock into what's going on in that moment, or what he thinks is going on in that moment. So when he finds out that he's wrong, it just shakes his world. So like, that's one thing you need to learn from Q, is to be flexible. If another plan comes up, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You do not have to be the driving force behind every single vote. But also, like, I do appreciate Q's willingness to take responsibility. I think that's part of like the athlete and the coach in him, is that, you know, when you make a mistake as an athlete, in order to get better, you admit it and you take the consequences for it. So like, I think this was genuine from him at Tribal. I think he genuinely thought, man, I screwed things up. Tiffany's going to go home tonight. I don't want Tiffany to go home tonight. She's been my alliance member. That's kind of how I perceived it. Now, you could be right. This could be totally gameplay from him and just be like, he didn't want Tiffany going home, so he decided to cause chaos, or he wanted to be the one driving the wheel, or whatever, and it was getting out of control, so he decides to throw a little tantrum. It doesn't make sense in any strategy. Like, I can't make sense of it strategically. So to me, it has to be like emotional and genuine, in my opinion. So I agree with you. I don't think Q is going to win. He's constantly like up and down. He's with this alliance, But then he reveals to Hunter that Tevin's getting voted out. You know, like, he's really tight with Tiffany. That's his number one. But then he's okay with voting out Tiffany. He's just constantly back and forth and fluctuating. He doesn't seem to know what he's doing, what he wants to do. But yeah, he's so confident about it. He's so confident that this is his game. He's making the decisions. And like, that kind of attitude is super off-putting to people. I think one of the most telling things tonight was after he makes his big speech and, you know, everyone goes into chaos, Charlie makes the comment about like, Q doesn't have the luxury to just blow things up and then walk away. Like, if you really want to take the consequences for your action, then take the consequences and work this out. Like, don't just walk away from it. And also Tiffany and Kinsey said something similar.
Can we pause there? That's sure. Brilliant. What if, as a strategy, you're like, I don't want to go out, so I need to reap the consequences of what I sow. Therefore, you can't vote me out. I need to stay here and reap them. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Guys, don't let me just screw up and get away with it. Don't let just vote me off. That's the easy way out. Let me go to Final Three and take my consequences on the chin.
I don't know if that would work with any other cast of players. I'm just saying that in this situation with these people, it worked. I don't think
voting me off, that's too easy. Too easy. Just leave me in the game until the very end. I need to take it on the chin. It is my fault. I am responsible. Let me get to Final Three.
This did not garner any respect for Q. This move did not make him any friends. I don't see him lasting much longer in the game. It was definitely interesting study of character, though, that I will say. So yeah, Q is ninth for me.
Rebecca, is it possible that Liz paid Q to do this to save her game? Maybe Liz thought she was going, and therefore she slipped Q, you know, a casual $50,000 check to be like, hey, blow up your game so people are not looking at me anymore, you know, even though nobody's looking at her, but yeah. She didn't know that because she assumes everyone's looking at her because no man can handle her.
Right, because of her massive ego.
Yes, and her huge bank account.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think that's definitely possible. For me, yeah, this move definitely read as, I think Q honestly just like got in his head as they were traveling to Tribal. Like, that's really kind of how it felt to me. As someone who like is an overthinker, I think that I kind of saw that happening with him, where he, you know, he just kind of got in his head and was like, I messed up, it's too late to fix it. Like, you know, and like you said, Mary, just like feeling guilty about like, man, Tiffany, who's been my number one ally this whole time, like, she's going to go home because of my screw up. And so I think it was more emotional. And yeah, it was also interesting because like, I think I had him a little lower in previous weeks because he's threatened to quit before on Yanu. But the reason that that didn't totally tank his game was because there were only like two people there to witness that. I think it was just Kinsey and Tiffany at the time. And so, yeah, so like, even though he's like, oh, like I almost don't even want to be on the island anymore, and they're like, no, you can't quit. But this was such a public, honestly, kind of meltdown that, yeah, I mean, maybe he makes it through a couple votes, but even if he somehow makes it all the way to the end, I think he's lost so much respect, like you said, Mary, that I just don't see anyone voting for him. Because, I don't know, you don't want your winner to be someone who's threatened to quit twice, you know? Like, that's just not the type of person that you want to win the game. So, yeah, Q, I enjoy the hot mess of, like, TV. He made last night's episode so entertaining. Like, it's very good TV. But in terms of like an actual ranking, he's at number 8 for me because, yeah, I just don't see any way that he's possibly going to win.
Undervaluing Q is a big mistake. I have him at number 8 as well. I weighed the pros and cons of each ranking and which one was the biggest mistake of them all. And I tried to find the least of the biggest mistake. So I did 8, Mary did 9, and Rebecca did 8. All right, I think we have 2 people left. Mary, who's next?
Yes. Next, we have Tiffany. She still has her shot in the dark. No votes against her. I think I've been forgetting to say that, but she still has a hidden immunity idol, if you want to call it hidden or not.
Everyone knows. No longer hidden.
Yeah. She had 3 confessionals this week and a total of 41.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even mention her in Q's assessment, how he gave that information away for free. So great job, Q. We already know he's not winning.
Yeah.
So Tiffany, I feel like she was solid as a rock through several episodes. here we are at episode 8, all of a sudden, partially because of Q, my goodness, like they, Yanu was in a rough spot. They had Banu and Q and Jelinski. Like, talk about people just blowing up everything. All the men from Yanu just blew things up, like, at every point they could. Jelinski blew things up. Banu couldn't keep himself composed for a second. And Q out here blowing things. Like, they didn't have it. They should have kept Jess. Jess could have been, like, if you ever watched Parks and Rec, everyone dunks on Jerry all the time, even though Jerry's done nothing wrong. And Jerry actually has, like, a smoking hot wife and beautiful daughters. And, like, I have a really happy life outside of his department at Parks and Rec. And people like, dang it, Jerry! Like, blame him for things he didn't even do. That's Jess. That could have been Jess. And wouldn't that have been much better than having Q blow up your game, just blaming everything on Jess? I don't know. All I'm saying is that I think they screwed up. Big mistake not voting off Q earlier. Look how it's panned. Great for us, by the way. Great for TV. Big mistake for Tiffany here. I'm surprised it hasn't bit Kenzie in the butt, but I guess Kenzie doesn't have anything to really reveal, like Tiffany did with her idol. So Tiffany, I feel like solid as a rock. This is the first episode where I thought, oh no, Tiffany's actually got some heat on her. It is from Q, but I think the people thing with Q is that people know that, sure, Q's a bit of a nut, but at the same time, like, he's not lying. I don't, like, what he thinks is really what he thinks.
Well, she's
Go ahead, Mary. Sorry, first.
I was going to say, she's also being targeted by Maria because now Maria knows Tiffany's targeting her. So it's not just Q. I feel like she's definitely going to take some heat after this.
Okay, Rebecca.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, I think Charlie even pointed it out at some point. He was, I think when he got pulled into the Six Alliance, he was like, listen, I don't trust Q. Like, I don't really want to work with him long term, but also, like, I need to be on his good side because he does control the votes. So I think there is kind of that perception where it's like, weirdly, like, I don't know that anyone is really on Q's team per se, but, like, everyone's kind of working with him. So, or at least most people are. So, yeah, I think with Tiffany, what was interesting with her is, yeah, when she got pulled into this Six Alliance, and I think she just wasn't really on board with it because obviously, yeah, she started targeting Maria because she's like, listen, you know, we just need to look at threats. And so I think that was kind of what Q saw as like, oh, maybe I need to get Tiffany out because she's not on board with this alliance that I put together of the six. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely like not great that they're feuding. I think Tiffany, yeah, so like that's, I think she has more heat on her because of the idol and also because of trying to go against the six. Even though, again, that's not, it's funny because it's like this alliance is so important and yet it's like barely an alliance, like Charlie said. They keep voting off their own members. Yeah. So yeah, like it's an alliance of four now, I guess. But yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, Tiffany, I think she's been really solid for a while now, but yeah, she's gonna have to get through this storm, this Q storm, and if she can do that, then I think she's, yeah, the Q skirt, yes. If she can get through it, I think she's in a really good spot. So I have her ranked at number three. But yeah, she's going to have to get through the next couple of weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
I have her at number two. What about you, Mary?
I also have her at number two. I almost switched her to three and bumped Charlie above her. So like, I'm kind of like in between with you guys. I think, I agree, she's in a good spot. I think she's a really good player. Like every time we hear from Tiffany, what she says makes sense and it's like the right thing to do for her game. Like this week she was like, I want to keep Venus because why would you not want to keep somebody who's just a nuisance and no one wants to work with versus an actual
threat?
That's
old Survivor. Big mistake.
Yeah, that's old Survivor. That's a tried and proven method that works. Yeah. You know, why would you want
to
do that?
She wanted to do with Banu. Yeah.
Right.
Old Survivor, big mistake.
Right. So, like, she's such a smart player. She has a really good alliance with Kenzie. She could have had a strong alliance with Six. I don't really know. I feel like that was such an ambiguous thing that didn't work out anyway. So, her not holding to it isn't necessarily a bad mark against her. So, yeah, I think that she has a good chance. I'm afraid that with the heat that came on her this week, she has a harder road than before. Now everyone knows about her idol. Now everyone knows she's been targeting her own alliance. You know, like we have threats that are going up. Her threat level, I think, is going up. But at the same time, I think she could be good at damage control, at least much better than say Q, or, you know, even Hunter, who said, I'm going to go do damage control today, and it didn't work out. But anyways, I have faith in Tiffany and her game. I think she's a great player.
Well, well, well. Time for our last player. Lay it on me, Mary.
Okay. Venus has 5 votes against her. She still has her shot in the dark. Her confessional count is 35 with 7 from this week.
It feels like more, but there was one week where she got skunked, as you can see in the top right of the video. Right, Mary? What episode did she get skunked in?
Episode 4. Yeah.
Is that an episode where like 3 people got skunked?
No, she was the only one that episode.
Oh, all right.
Oh, no, sorry. Tim was also skunked that episode. But the multiple skunking happened episode 3.
Still in the game,
3.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Venus is chaotic. Venus is not winning. People were praising Venus in the beginning of the season. I was confused because they're praising her and saying she was going to win. I was confused. I'm like, where's the winner part coming from? I get it now. I get why people like Venus as a character. Totally get it. I don't see Venus winning, though. I don't know. The only person I think she could beat at the moment is Q, because Q literally tried to quit in front of everybody. But that's a final 2. I don't think there's a final 3 that Venus wins. Some may argue she could beat Liz. I don't know. Have you thought about bribing the jury? Venus can't do that. And I know it's not legally allowed, but you think Liz can't buy off the lawyers too? I mean, come on. You buy off the judge. Point being is that I don't think Venus can beat any combination of a final 3. Liz and Q might be her best chance. And even then, is that likely to happen? Is that the track we're on right now? I don't think so. I don't see it. Venus for me is super low. I think I have her at last. I got double check that real quick. Hang on. But yes, I think I have her at last. What do you think, Rebecca?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think I don't know of a final 3 that she beats at this point. I love watching her. Like, she makes great TV. Like, in this week, the moment when Hunter's like talking to everyone frantically on the beach right before tribal, and she's like, I'm just gonna walk over there. There's no rules. They can't tell me what to do. Like, that was so funny. That was such good TV, and I want more of that from her. That being said, yeah, from a winner's edit perspective, I just feel like, and I don't know, I don't really know why this is, but it seems like no one really like respects her or really wants to work with her. The show has kind of gone out of
conversation because they don't care about what you're doing. You don't know why people don't want to work with them.
Well, yes, I feel like it just from the moment that they hit the beach, everyone was like, I'm not going to work with her or whatever. And so, like, I don't know. It's kind of a vicious cycle, too, where it's like, OK, well, if no one's going to work with me, I'm at least going to have some fun, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, fair point. But also, I don't know. But that being said, yeah, I don't know who she would necessarily beat at the end. So, I have her ranked, she's actually at number 6 for me,
wow.
But to be honest, like my bottom 4 people, like, I just don't think any of them are going to win. So it sounds high, but I think her odds are pretty much 0 at this point.
I think we've gotten to the point where I think we can all agree there's basically 3 legit contenders between Kenzie, yeah. Tiffany, and Charlie, and everyone else is kind of like, I don't see it. I don't see it. But we also didn't see Gabler. So I always want to point that out because we are not perfect. Mary, what do you think about Venus?
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say. I think that part of the reason we get like a bad feeling from her is because she keeps saying stuff like, oh, I am so glad I got Soda out. I'm so glad Tevin wants to work with me. You know, cut to Tevin laughing hysterically because...
Or Liz saying, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. So like we're constantly being shown... by production that she isn't being taken seriously. She isn't in the know in any way, shape, or form about what's actually going on in the game. But she's confident about what's going on in the game again. So just like her kind of vanity.
Unearned confidence.
Yeah, it's a bit much for a winner. And again, yeah, like for whatever reason, she's just alienated everyone. And no one really wants to work with her. I do have her above Liz and Q because if for whatever reason people were just like wanting to cause chaos at the end and she could somehow, I don't know how, but respectfully talk to the jury at final 3, it could happen because I don't know why. I just feel like it could happen. That's my gut. But yeah, I don't like you were saying, Rebecca, my bottom 3 or 4 are kind of like equal as in 0 chance. Mm-hmm. So I don't, she's at seven, but it's really kind of.
She's at several for you?
Yeah, she's at several for me. Mainly only because, like, I think she probably will be the final three goat.
Well, well, well. Does anyone have anything else that they want to say before I close us out?
No.
I think I'm good.
It's a good season.
Okay. Well, it turned around.
This was a great
Bonnie
episode.
Voted off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie was the earthquake this season needed to happen. Said it. Vanuatu turns around that earthquake in episode 5. 46 is turned around with Bonnie gone. Who knew Bonnie was literally dragging down the entire season by himself? I don't think that's what it was, but it was definitely a big factor for two episodes. So, a couple things to mention. We will be back next week. Mary on this podcast. Of course, Rebecca on The Breakdown. As always, you can listen to these podcasts early on Patreon for free with no ads. And also, I hope this is our goal, is the final five. We'll all get back together again, all three of us. And not only will we rank the final five before the finale, but we'll rank the six new era seasons like we did last year. We'll see where 46 ends up at. Though we could be in a situation where like 45 is so predictable by the end, we kind of knew where it was going, we could rank it properly. Maybe 46 is chaos in the last episode, and ranking it before the finale would be insane. I don't know. We'll find out. But if I recall, we all had 45 at number one for the budget era throw. We'll see. All right. Well, we thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.